I'm Darren, and I'm one of the pastors at Focus 314. And today we are wrapping up a series called I Want to Believe, But. We've been looking at some of the hurdles and challenges that people have in fully believing in God. I want to believe, but how do you explain this? We've talked about the instant gratification God, the God that instantly gratifies every single prayer request that we have, the goosebump God that I want to have all of those feelings happen, the mirror image God. Why so many people don't believe in God is because we aren't made in the image of God. Instead, we have created him in our own image. Last week, we talked about the fuddy-duddy God, the God of no fun at all, but we understand that God has a life full of abundance for us. And today, we are talking about what I believe is one of the most often heard and probably the hardest challenges for people to understand today. I'm just going to let you know right up front. If you call Focus 314 your home church, you know that, hey, we like to have fun here. I like to have fun. And in fact, I like to tell jokes that just are incredibly funny, right? Okay, who am I kidding? I'm super cheesy, but we like to have fun. But I have to tell you that today is going to be, it's going to be more serious. Because this is one of the biggest and probably the most important issues that many people face. For so many people, the biggest hurdle that keeps someone from fully believing in God is the view that God can be completely apathetic. I want to believe, but he doesn't seem to care. I want to believe in God, but there is so much pain in this world. I want to believe in God, but why would God allow so many tragedies in this world? I can tell you, in my short time on this earth, I've seen and I have experienced pain. And chances are pretty good that many of you sitting in here today, you have had your moments as well. Perhaps you're even sitting in here thinking, I'm in that moment right now. I've been praying, I've been trying to believe, but there are all of these things going on. How can I believe in a God that doesn't seem to care? It might not even be happening to you. Just open up the news and you're going to see pain. You're going to see terrorist attacks, school shootings, senseless racial tension, human trafficking. How could one human being treat another human being like that? It doesn't seem fair. Why does this happen? And then you're praying for something, praying that God will do something. You know he can, and he doesn't seem to do anything about it. He doesn't take away the migraine headaches that have plagued you for the past 5 years. He doesn't save your child that you have been desperately praying for. He doesn't come through for your family member that you love so much. You are praying, you're working hard, you're helping people, you're serving whenever you can, and no matter how hard you work, you can't seem to catch any breaks. Everybody else seems to be getting ahead, and you're just sitting here drowning. God, are you there? Are you good? I want to believe, but you don't seem to care. You seem so apathetic towards me. I'm gonna tell you something. If you've ever felt that, let me tell you, you are not the first one. You're not the only one sitting in here that has felt that. We look at the people in the Bible and it's easy for us to think of them as these fairy tale people, larger than life individuals that don't have to walk with the kind of pain that I have to face. But they are very real people with very real emotions, just like you and I. Over and over and over again, you see these people going through difficult times. David, which is the greatest David and Goliath story ever told, right? Like he had victorious mountaintop moments and he also had moments where he said, God, where are you? Don't you hear my prayers? How about God's chosen people, the children of Israel? Like, they're God's chosen people. Like, nothing bad should ever happen to them. But instead, they were stuck in slavery for 400 years. Immediately, my mind goes to one of the most successful men that you see in Scripture, a man named Job. He was godly, humble. You couldn't find fault with this guy. He had everything, and then he had everything taken from him. This is a story, I'm going to tell you, this is a story that will mess with you. His career is gone. His family is a wreck. He gets boils all over his body. His friends turn into jerks. And then his wife says, you should just curse God and die. You know it's going to be bad. You have to be going through a bad moment when your wife says, you should just die. That's a dark place. A ton of pain. The epitome of walking through the valley of the shadow of death. God, where are you? How can I believe in you when it doesn't seem like you care? Pain is an incredible stumbling block in believing in God. Here's what we're going to talk about today. I'm not going to try to explain the reason for pain. That doesn't work for somebody in pain. You can't explain pain. You just experience it. I'm not going to try to explain tragedy in this world. In fact, Jesus even said, we would have these moments. John 16:33, he said, in this world, you will have trouble. But what I hope to do today is to give you hope. I hope to show you that God isn't apathetic. I hope to show you that God isn't a God who doesn't care. God is a God who loves you. In fact, he doesn't just love you, he is love. I hope to show you the hope of knowing God's love. Here's what I want to do today. I want to give you two big thoughts, two truths of tragedy to embrace whenever God doesn't seem to be fair, when life doesn't seem to be fair, when the world is giving you trouble. Number one is this, is that you have to understand God will have a purpose in your pain. God has a purpose in your pain. He is good. Even when you are hurting, God is still working. I don't know what your pain might be, and I don't know what his purpose is, but I know he's working. In fact, I love the way that Peter says it in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 7. He said, in all this, you greatly rejoice. In all of this, what is this? Though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. In all this, in all the suffering and the grief and all kinds of trials, I'm supposed to rejoice? No, no, no. He says, I'm supposed to greatly rejoice. Why am I supposed to do that? Why am I supposed to do that? Because these trials, the pain that we endure, it will prove the genuineness of your faith, which is worth more than you could ever imagine. He says this, that it is greater worth than gold, which perishes, but the faith that we have, it may result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. God has a purpose. God is doing something. God is in the middle of it. Even though you don't understand it, God can use it to strengthen you. God doesn't cause your pain every single time, but God can use your pain every single time. Let me illustrate it this way. It's one of the most painful moments that Jenny and I have ever walked through in our married life. See, when we were first married, we were youth pastors in Southern Missouri. We had this guy that would come to the church and do general maintenance around the church whenever it was needed, basically handyman, right? And he and his wife served God with everything they had, and they were expecting a child. And actually, Jenny and I were expecting our first child as they were expecting theirs. And their pregnancy went smoothly. Everything was fine. And then when their little girl was born, it was evident that she had a genetic defect that would quickly take her life. No idea that anything was wrong during the pregnancy. And then the doctors said it would be a miracle if she survived a month. I gotta tell you, immediately the church began to pray for a miracle. Thousands of people gathering to pray for this newborn and her mom and dad. A month later, the baby passed away. If you have ever experienced the death of a newborn, you know that this is some of the most tragic pain anyone can walk through. And then, in the Sunday, after we heard the news, Jenny turns to me and says, something's wrong. We need to go to the hospital. We went to the hospital and they did an ultrasound. and where before I saw movement, and where before I heard a strong heartbeat, I saw stillness and heard nothing. We had lost our first child. It was, and still is, the most pain we have ever walked through. And later that week, Jenny and I had to go to the funeral for this one-month-old little girl. We didn't want to be there. We were dealing with our own grief. It was extremely painful and emotional, but we wanted to be there for this couple. And then as we were walking up to give them our condolences, they embraced us with the most loving hug and said, "We just heard the news." And they started to weep. And they started to weep, and we started to weep. And they prayed for us to know God was with us in our pain and to know His peace. Let me tell you something. God did not cause this baby to die. He didn't cause the pain for this couple, but He used it to help us heal. He had a purpose to teach us to be open about our pain. God didn't cause our pain. He didn't cause our child to die, but there was a purpose in our pain. As that couple was open about their pain, we in turn were open about ours. And as we were open with our pain, we helped other people heal from the loss of their children. One couple that had lost a child 20 years earlier sat there and cried as I opened up about our own experience. There's a purpose in your pain. Someone in here might say, "Well, good for you, but it still hurts me." Let me tell you what, that first week, it was not easy. That first month was not easy. We still have a memory box for that little one we've never met. You don't always sense it immediately, but when you walk with God, you sense that He is there with you. He truly is a good God. God doesn't cause your pain every single time, but He can use your pain every single time. There is a purpose in our pain. The second truth that I want you to know today is this, is God is always, always present in your pain. He has a purpose and He is present in your pain. Psalm 46:1 says, "God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble." Ever-present, ever-present. He is with you. He is with you. He is with you. I'm going to tell you, so often we want God to give us what we want. And God wants you to know that He is what we need. "God, I want you to do this." And God says, "I'm the source of all that you need." One of the best examples of this is the Apostle Paul. If you don't know a lot about Paul, he was someone. When he first started out, he was someone that hated Christians. He persecuted them, killed them. And then he had a radical life transformation. And to this day, he's one of the greatest Christians to ever walk this earth. It's like, he's kind of like, it's Billy Graham, Paul, then Jesus. Like, that's kind of the order that it goes in. He started churches all over the place. He wrote most of the New Testament, but life wasn't perfect for him. He had trouble in this world. He had trouble come at him at almost every stop he had. He was beaten. He was stoned, and not like the recreational kind. He was left for dead, shipwrecked, bitten by snakes, but it wasn't all external either. He had this other thing that plagued him, this temptation. He called it his thorn in his side. He pleads with God to take it away. You know, and if there's one guy that God is going to come through for, you would think it would be Paul. He pleaded with God 3 times. "Take it away, take it away, take it away. I can't deal with this. It's too much. I need healing." And then this is how God responds to him in the middle of his pleading. 2 Corinthians 12:9. "But he said to me, but God said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.'" God, heal me. God, please change my circumstances. God, please fix this problem. Relieve my pain. And here is what I want you to know. There are times that it will happen. that he will come through for you. But more importantly, every time, God will say, my grace is enough for you. You will say, this is what I need. And God will say, no, I'm what you need. This isn't something that you can totally explain. This is just something that you experience. It's something that doesn't make sense unless you have walked through it. It's when you couldn't have made it through that situation, but God carried you through. You had so many doubts, but God lifted your faith. The pain was so much that you didn't want to face another day, and yet there was comfort enough that you did. His grace is always enough. And then Paul starts to talk some crazy talk. I mean, this is wild. He continues on in 2 Corinthians. He says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest in me. I'm going to boast in my weaknesses? That's not anything that any of us were taught growing up. You got to be strong. It's time to man up. This is counterintuitive to how we're taught. Not only will I boast about my weaknesses, then he says this, that is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses. What? I'm not just going to boast about it. I'm going to delight in it. I'm going to delight in my weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I'm going to delight in insults. Why would you serve God? People will say, why would you serve God? What are you, some sort of superstitious person? I'm going to delight in my insults. I'm going to delight in my hardships. God, I am thankful that I lost my job. I'm thankful that I'm going through this financial hard time. I'm going to delight in my hardships. I'm going to delight in persecution. Why would you go to that church? It doesn't even have a building. It's not a church without a building. I'm going to delight in persecutions. I'm going to delight in my difficulties. God, I'm thankful for the pain of losing our first child. Not because I'm happy that it happened, but because I never experienced your presence like I did before that moment. I never knew how much your grace was truly enough for me before that moment. And when I realized that God's presence is with me in my pain, I experienced his grace like never before. That is why I will boast in my weaknesses. For when I am weak, then I am strong. When I realize how weak I am, I surrender to God's unfailing grace, which is always enough, which is always sufficient. And then I am made strong. Here's the reality. Life is tough. It is difficult. It is full of pain and trouble. This is the world that we live in. But today, I want to give you great news. See, it's not that God doesn't care about us and doesn't do anything about it. In fact, he loves us so much that he did the greatest thing that he could to rescue us from this world. This is the big takeaway today. Let's go back to the very first verse that we started with today. John 16:33 said, in this world you will have trouble. But Jesus doesn't stop right there. He continues on. He says, but take heart. I have overcome the world. But take heart. I have overcome the world. God isn't standing by about your situation. He is standing up to protect you in the middle of it. He hasn't done nothing. He has done everything for you. He sent his son for you and for me. He has overcome the world. In this world, you will have trouble, but have peace in Jesus. Take heart. I have overcome the world. He is our overcomer. It was the joy set before him that he endured the cross. The cross, which could have been the biggest stumbling block of pain in the history of mankind. Jesus knew the pain that was before him. And the night before he was getting ready to walk through that pain, he pleaded with God in the same way that Paul did, in the same way that many of us do today. God, take this pain away. If there's any other way, let's do that. But instead of the cross being a stumbling block of pain, it became the greatest stepping stone to the hope of all mankind. For Christ to be an overcomer means that he had to overcome. He had to overcome something. See, we like the idea of standing on the mountaintop in victory, but to have a mountaintop means there needs to be a valley. For there to be a victory means that there needs to be a battle. There needs to be a trial. There needs to be a test. There needs to be a temptation. We want the victory, but we don't want to face the battle. In this world, there will be trouble, but take heart. He has overcome the world. But take heart, he has overcome this world. My question for you today is this: is the pain you are facing a stumbling block for you, or is it a stepping stone? It's time to see it differently. Take heart. Christ has overcome the world. It's no longer the valley of the shadow of death. It's just a pathway to the mountaintop. It's no longer a battle. It is a victory in waiting. It is no longer a stumbling block. It is a stepping stone for the hope and the purpose that God has for me. The question isn't how can I serve God that allows this much pain in the world. The question is, how can you face the pain and trouble of this world without Jesus Christ? Take heart. He has overcome the world.